you learn your lessons through the year. Just don't ever get too comfortable, right? And you're only as good as your last game. So that's how we approach every day. I think if we had a line of guys up here after me, they would probably tell you that I don't have any problem keeping them humble and making sure that we don't change our approach 1%. You know, Western New York, we're a good fit for Western New York because we are a blue-collar program.
As UB Bulls head coach Pete Lembo, as they had their media day this week for the MAC, getting ready to go here, UB, ready and willing. And Pete Lembo there saying, you're only as good as your last game. Well, the good news for that is that your last game was that they won the Bahama Bowl against Liberty.
And they're looking good, too, in another way with Dolak and Andreessen both on, you know,
both on pro rosters at this moment.
So
things are looking up for UB football. So what better time to go ahead and talk about the Bulls? And we're going to bring in a friend of the program, someone that I haven't had on here for almost too long. I feel like it's kind of criminal at this point. But Maniac from Trainwreck Sports joining us here on the Wester Hotline. It's Joe and Derek. First of all, it's good to be able to have you on the airwaves here again, Maniac. It's good.
No, Joe and Derek, thanks for having me. I am going to pardon any crime you think you've committed because we are free rolling. We are ready to rock. We are 12 days away from these Bulls storming into Minnesota. A lot to be excited about, whether it's from the 10,000-foot view of the program, from getting new donors, a new scoreboard at the stadium, and buy-in at all levels with the highest GPA in program history, or kind of a revamped roster reloaded from last year, the old school way with just internal recruiting and progression from the roster they had. Not a lot of transfer portal going on in the UB neck of the woods.
And that's kind of an interesting thing there that you bring up, Maniac, because of the fact that the transfer portal being so alive in college sports, for them to really not have to hit into it that much is really kind of a fascinating storyline in and of itself, because the struggle of a mid-major in talented mid-majors is that it's often going to be used against you because players will then take the opportunity to springboard themselves to higher conferences, more prestigious schools, better opportunities, and yet you can also try to use it yourselves, but UB is looking at, like you said, homegrown talent, doing it a little bit of the old school way.
Yeah, I think that there's something to be said about the C word, and no, don't warn your producers with the dumb button. I'm talking about continuity here, and that definitely is playing in with what they're seeing at the UB football program. Obviously, there is a little bit of changeover at signal caller. Apparently, we'll have Taquan Robertson going in as the starter, a guy from Orange, New Jersey, hopping a skip over from the Bada Bing. But that's a guy, who knows how to foster a family and be a boss when called upon. So we're excited about that. Despite the the change at signal caller, it's a lot of the same. Obviously, you've got your Red Murdochs, you've got your Nick McMillan coming back from last year, and of course, Victor Snow, one of the best athlete names for Buffalo you could possibly have.
So when it comes down to it, though, Maniac, it does look like the first year with Lembo, they get 9 wins. They win the Bahamas Bowl. It seems like it's a program that should be on the up and up. But it did take a little bit here. There was a little bit of struggle after Lance Leipold leaves the program. And now, though, what is it about Lembo that is able to give such optimism for a UB program that was kind of down in the dumps for the last couple of years?
I cannot say how much respect I want to put on what I'm about to say, but he has to be one of the least intimidating coaches that I've ever interacted with. I think he's just very approachable, very straight shooter. Like, to certain coaches and everything, they'll act like they're playing 4D chess when they could really just be setting up a game of checkers. I think he kind of just takes the checkers approach when he needs to, and he evolves to chess when called upon. So you have that. First off, if you've ever listened to one of his, pressers, he typically always starts with a movie quote or something like that. I'm sorry, that's very, endearing, I think. And it just, it's hard to quantify, Derek, but I can't, and Joe, but I cannot state how many people we talked to, how many athletes within the program last year in this window from May to August You didn't have to be a music major to know they were singing a different tune around that program. It's something about the way that Lembo has that chemistry working, and he's definitely got it working in this program. They got them believing over there at UB Stadium.
So, Maniac, I've been producing these UB Bulls games for the past few years when I started here. And, you know, hearing Cole Snyder, CJ Agbana moving in and out, you knew exactly what the play was going to be depending on what quarterback was in there. And they tried using the dual running and throwing quarterback. What do you feel about Roberson and his potential upside, his ceiling? Do you think he'll be able to step in and kind of take this program from where it was?
Well, I think it says something that, you know, Agbana's still in the ether, right? And we're moving forward with Roberson because I think – last year, we got a really good floor with Agbana. I think he produced, quote-unquote, when called upon. But I think we're trying to take that to a new level. I guess there's a running factor of Roberson that might be available. It was very telling when our Mike Bunt caught up with him a couple days ago. He asked him, you know, if you could affect the game in any way, you know, what's your wild card? What's your variable of it? And he just said that he wants to be a guy who affects the game in three ways, with his arm, with his legs, and with his brain. And he's constantly remarked that he's working on all three of those, getting better every day. And this is a guy who's laser focused. Our guy Bunt asked him his goal for the season, and he said 1-0 on August 28th. So, you know, all I can see, because I haven't seen anything on the field, it's all going to be telling August 28th that this guy has the poise to make plays and if this guy can be situational for this Bulls team. But the team and the staff seems to have the belief in him.
Maniac joining us on the Wester Hotline from Trainwreck Sports as we're talking UB football right now. When it comes to it, though, you mentioned it. August 28th, they open against Minnesota. It should be an interesting challenge for this 9-win team last year. And now I look at this and go, this is a very approachable season for them when it comes to the MAC. The quality of competition, they were amongst the top there. I do believe that betting odds have them either third or fourth typically when it comes to where they're going to place in the conference. But it does look like it's a season where you can take advantage.
Yeah, things are setting up well for them. I think last year they may have snuck up on some teams, just, you know, to be fair. I think that nobody had them slated for 9 wins last season. To get there was crazy. So that was an amazing accomplishment for Lembo and staff to step in kind of on short notice and get that done. I think they've kind of lost the sneak up factor, but like you said, the schedule kind of bends in their direction a little bit. Yeah, you start on the road at Minnesota, but you get St. Francis at home. The only real bad break to me is that you get the early MAC game at Kent State, but that's at Kent State. That's a team you quote unquote should beat. So that's so you go take care of that. Then there's a big factor here, Derek and Joe, that obviously goes without being said. You get 7 home games on this 12-game schedule. So they'll be able to finish out the home schedule, Connecticut, Eastern Michigan, Akron, and then the 2 crucial games. The ones that always, Derek, if you produce these UB games, you know the Ohio games, whether it's Miami of Ohio or Ohio, especially on the road, have historically always given these Bulls a ton of difficulty. So to get those 2 games, not only at home, but at the tail end of the season where you can kind of take care of the rest of the business. Speaking of taking care of business, I can't help but notice that the Week 12 game at home home hosting Ohio is actually sponsored by Paul Hutchings of Scroy Lawley. I'm looking on the UB Bulls schedule here. Derek, you know that Scroy Lawley achieves production and financial results for their clients, seizing the moment. And I would not be surprised if UB puts up some numbers and seizes the moment. Carpe diems in this game as well.
Yeah, and honestly, it is going to be something to look at here. But they lose Dolak, obviously, with graduation. But it does look like there's a bit of a pattern forming here with UB and linebackers right now. Because who's next on this list? It's Red Murdoch. Murdoch was fantastic for them last year. Has himself a great bowl. This is a player that is going to be another one of those that could follow Andreessen and Dolak in the UB impact player in the middle of the defense.
Yeah, Lembo and his staff, they obviously have the unenviable task of replacing Sean Dolak, but Red Murdoch is just as close to having, you know, a clone in the you know, in the chamber, right ready to go. A guy who in you know, G5 was second in solo tackles last year. Might be off on that, but either still second in tackle somewhere. And yeah, it's a big opportunity for Red Murdoch to continue, obviously, what Sean Dolak started with his defense. The defense is a very dependable unit for a majority of last season. If they can continue that stability, and then you get some production from TR, and obviously your Al J. Hendersons of the world on the offensive side, Derek, that's where you start to add up the building block pieces of getting wins, and that's when you start to build up your golden ticket of getting a trip to Detroit on December 6th.
Finally, for me, when it comes to you, be here, Maniac, it is a promising group. I do think that they have opportunities to make things happen here. Who is the underrated player that you're looking at to make an impact for this team this season in order to try to capture a MAC championship?
So I'm still a neophyte in the game. As much as I want to be an insider, you know this. But I Red Murdoch's not going to carry anyone off guard. Taquan's obviously going to have all eyes on him being the quarterback. Nick McMillan is someone who came out last year. He was expected to be the one Buffalo, New York guy, OG. And then, but he was expected to be, the number one wide receiver last year, gets hurt first or second game, season essentially over. So I love when athletes get that opportunity. I know that injuries are obviously adversity, but when they can take that and kind of learn from it, and it seems like, from what I've heard, from what sources are saying, that he's been able to do that, and I would love to see that production roll right into this season, pick up where he left off last year. Nick McMillan.
All right, I like that, Maniac, and I'm going to keep you around here. We'll shift a little bit of focus here, but it is kind of funny how it's 0-60 for college football. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. There's no preseason. You're going right at it. It's at Minnesota on the 28th. But in the NFL, obviously, we have these preseason games. We have a work up to the regular season. What have you seen so far from training camp and preseason that has you feeling good, and what might have some questions in the head from the Buffalo Bills so far this training camp? Because Mike Bunt's been doing a great job on the beat for you guys there, so I'd imagine he's got plenty of those reports given to you guys.
Yeah, he's been crushing it for sure. I think he still thinks that our wide receiver depth is slept on. He was a guy who was able to talk to Elijah Moore, Palmer, all those guys early in camp. And I know that, not only did he like what he heard from him, I know, Elijah Moore's availability has been frustrating to some people, but I think that I could be in these words, how this works, Eric. It's, these NFL cut down days can be anything, but I would not be surprised if the weapons from this year are not only better, but greatly surpassed from what we had last year. And then I think the one thing that you would just be silly not to be worried about, because it's like the one glaring red alarm, is just the safety situation. And part of it is, Crams, we were spoiled. We knew how good we had it, but we still didn't know how good we had it with 23 and 21 back there for about 5-6 years of continuous, I would say, domination. You just didn't throw deep on the Bills. You didn't attack deep on the Bills. It was never at 15 to 20 yards downfield was basically off limits. So that allowed the LBs to be a little bit more, aggressive in that zone, and obviously the DL to pin their ears back. But, hopefully Cole Bishop is a guy who can get healthy and, has taken in some of the lessons, some of the learning curve, despite being hurt. And we'll see, obviously, hopefully Taylor Rapp can return to form and be the guy that he's been dependent on to be the last couple of years.
Maniac, aside from the safety position, you mentioned just the broader spectrum of the defense. I feel like they have done enough to really beef it up. And looking how the Chiefs game ended last year, right, we relied on Jordan Phillips to make a big time stop. I feel like you have the guys to get that done now. What do you think? Do you think they've done enough?
Yeah, I think they've done enough. And this is one thing I would say out loud. And yes, injuries are a part of the game. I think they've gotten a little injury unlucky the last couple of years. I think they got very injury lucky the first couple of years, and then they've got unlucky the last couple of years. So there is a factor to that. But hopefully between, the wellness team and the strength and conditioning team, we have one of the better years as far as health. And you talked about the depth kind of putting us to the sword last year. I mean, can we talk about, I don't care if he's starting for Dallas right now. Kerry Elam was a lost puppy out there last year in the AFC Championship. So I don't have to, terrorize your listeners with that. But like you guys said, they've added so much depth, it feels like, at the D-line, whether it's the LBs, whether it's the growth of Andreessen. And I know that it's been talked about and it's staring everyone in the face, but I still think we are getting potentially Joey Bosa at the tail end of his prime. And if we can get those 1 to 2 years that we really wanted to get out of Von Miller, out of Joey Bosa, well, then maybe, these playoff situations have a little different ending.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating season, to say the least, especially because there's no better feeling than casually going back to the AFC Championship in what many were predicting before the year was maybe a step back season for the Bills in their standards. Instead, it's the same old, same old. So finally, the toughest question coming here for you is this.
Uh-oh.
Yep. I've got to get you with a hard one sometimes, buddy. And it's going to go like this. It's going to go like this. Is this team, as it is constructed, it does look like there's a new core that is formed. Are you still just as confident in them as you have been in years past?
Yeah, I'm confident in the players. Let me put it this way to you, because I love a good pop culture reference.
Yep.
I am confident in this new wave of Avengers. Now, are they going to have the gel and the compatibility that our OG run did? Like that, you know, I feel like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer always knew where each other were, things like that. And again, that was the core we all wanted to go to that next level, obviously. But yeah, it's going to be this core of Terrell Bernard, Greg Russo, everything like that. Are they going to get us to this next level? They've got the abilities. If I can just, you know, if we can get there and we can put them in a position to make plays, I think that our time has come, and I think that they can make us take us to the promised land in that regard.
All right. I saw something. We're kicking back to college football for a second here, Maniac. A great answer. I do love that. The Avengers thing there, too, with the Thunderbolts Avengers little pull there. I'm seeing something from Pete Thamel, a college football writer with College Game Day on ESPN, saying that the Big Ten has begun populating an expanded college football playoff idea to include up to 24 or 28 teams. How gross does that sound to you?
It sounds gross for sure. The only problem is that this is a situation that the college sphere has done to itself, because now that you have early playoff games sprinkled in early December and then the end of December, how is someone supposed to care about, like, the, you know, with all due respect to, you know, like the Dollar General Bowl, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
How am I getting out? Like, so they realize, well, what do we do with the ratings? We just throw a couple more teams in here. I mean, now, again, I think that this could be a victim of, like, the success they had with it last year. By the way, it turned out good for them last year. It turned out exactly how it should turn out last year. I know there were people saying, well, the higher seeds lost. Well, the whole point of including more teams was that if a team like Ohio State had a weird loss, which they did to Michigan at the end of the year, it wasn't a death sentence as far as their national championship up, because Ohio State clearly ended up being the best team when it was all said and done. I think that they're maybe leaning on that a little bit too much with this move. And let's face it, Cramps, you know this is a dollars move. Like, come on, more bowls, more money, more coverage, more TV contracts. I hate to say it, but the NCAA, I mean, I don't have to tell you what the C in their stands were. You know it's corrupt.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's all about the money at that point. We all know why they'd be doing it. That's why I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking of when it comes to a word to think of that idea is gross. Yeah. But because I saw it, I'm like, I'm talking to someone with college football knowledge right now. I might as well ask him that question as I see it live. Yeah, I don't know if I like that idea.
I supported the 12 because I think you got what you wanted out of the 12.
Yes.
You got those fringe teams. You got those exciting athletes. Oh, now we can get the Heisman, like, you know, the guy, you're more likely to get a Heisman Trophy winner in the top 12 teams than you were the top four teams. So you get them, but all of it plays for sure, but too much of a good thing. I mean, we know what happened to Augustus Gloop when he visited the factory.
Yeah. And it just, for me, it just sounds like, you know, it, as you said, the corrupt sort of thing on this. It's a Power Five conference trying to make sure they get the most representation, the most money that they possibly can there, because it becomes the question of how many teams is too many teams for a college football playoff. And like you said, it's got money to deal with it on the whole end of it.
The only way I am going to sign off on this a tad, and this just speaks to my own corruption, if the MAC champion gets an auto bid.
And they do have for the non. So the Power Four, there's still only two bids based on that proposal. It'd be two bids automatically for outside of the Power Four conferences.
Oh, see, that's a joke.
Yeah.
No, I need every kind. If you won your conference, you did it. You're in.
Exactly.
NCAA tournament style. Why are we not running synonymous with that?
Exactly. It just seems like it's the Big Ten trying to get as much money as they can in their pockets on this, and it's like, hold your horses.
Yep.
Maniac, I appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping in with us here. And if people aren't following the team at Trainwreck Sports, let them know where they got to find your stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, just go check us out at Trainwreck Sports. No O on the Twitter. We lost it in a lawsuit, but all the other sub-accounts for our Bills, Chicken Wings, UB Bulls, every coverage that goes from there. So check it out. Appreciate the time. And speaking of dollars, thanks to the team over there at WGRB and some money. Keep doing your thing.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Good to have you back on the air with us.
Later, boys. Have a good Saturday.
That's Maniac from Trainwreck Sports there on the West Hur Hotline. Talking some UB football, a little bit of Bills. We saw the college football playoff idea. That sounds genuinely terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that'll be interesting to see if that materializes.
Big old no thank you on that one. Yeah, that's not – I don't like that at all.
No.
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 Get out of there.
Not at all.
Get out of there.
I didn't. I was okay with the move to the 12 team, just like Maniac said, but – that this would be a step too far, I think. You know, I think that'd be pushing it.
It's also, so looking at this, is according to Pete Thamel of College Game Day, ESPN. It would propose eliminating conference title games from having and having a large number of auto bids for all four of the power leagues. For example, in a 2018 model that was proposed, automatic bids would go to the Big Ten and SEC, ACC and Big 12, having 7, 7, 5, and 5. Get out of here with that garbage. Because that's what that is. That's garbage. You're looking at 24 of these 28 teams in the 2018 model being from the Power Four, and then four others are at large, and only two of those other four, two are at large, excuse me, and two are for bids from the other leagues.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
No, that's something that's like, of course, the Big Ten commissioner is going to be like, oh, we ran it by our own league on Wednesday, and they love the idea. No, it is pretty much about you're trying to keep your conference getting the most money and that sort of thing. And you're also asking for there to be some sort of like, oh, what about it being March Madness? The only way I'd want that, and I agree with Maniac on that, is if you win your conference, you're getting in, like a March Madness tournament. You win your conference, you've got a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why Maniac thinks about that. That's a UB tie right there.
Right.
UB gets it with the MAC, they're in the playoff. Automatic bid. Go. And that's not what this proposal looks like. It gives a lot of comfort to. There's only two spots outside of the Power Four there. Get out of here.
No, it just, you're limiting the other, I get it.
It's for
the
money.
The power franchises do bring more money, more watchability. I 100% get that. They bring sponsorships, everything. But that's, you're taking away the effective underdog story, which is why a lot of people also like to watch playoff runs. If the UB Bulls made a deep playoff run, that'd feed families.
That would feed generations.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm eating.
So there's just as much money potentially from the underdog making it through.
But it's very
than the power
few and far in between for that to happen. For an underdog to win a bowl game, that is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like college football, it is the gap is so much larger. It is tougher to have a successful string of runs
mm-hmm.
like that. At least with basketball, it is you play a style that most teams are not prepared for, or they can't keep up at your own game.
Mm-hmm.
So it can allow for a lower seed to make a little bit of a run. But as of late, that's not happening either. Because with the NIL era in college sports, the haves and the have-nots, that gap is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
They have the money, they're going to be able to spend it. If you do not have that money, you're not going to be able to spend it. And the transfer portal is going to hit those smaller schools even harder than it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They're messing around with it too much. Like, let this just sit for a little bit. It's only been a short period of time.
We just got the 12.
Yeah, like, let this just marinate in people's heads for a little bit.
We just got the 12, and it wasn't really seeded the right way. So why don't we try it another year, see how the seeding goes, and we go from there. Like, the teams that get the week off, does it have to automatically have been conference winners? No. Maybe it's based on the AP poll.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how they format it this year. But then I think the next step is also you go to 16, not 24.
Yeah, let's not double it.
Or God forbid 28.
No, don't double it. If you're going to do anything, add a few more teams. That's it.
Right.
That's it. We do not need to, because you're going to lose the validity of the event if you make it 28. That's like you have to attempt to not to make the playoffs to make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? At that point, it's just too much.
I put something out on this, and Scott tweets in, it'll be December madness before we know it.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550, the number to call. We're having our fun here, vibing a little bit today. Thank you to Maniac from Trainwreck Sports joining us here on this past segment. And we're going to keep going. Talk Bills preseason. And I want to focus more now coming up next on players that I want to see more from. From preseason game number two. There's a lot of fun answers to this. And I really don't think there's a wrong one. Who do you want to see more from? There's no wrong answer here. No. So,
not at all.
Find out what we've got coming up next.
White in the shotgun, blitz coming, rolls to his right, has a wide open receiver, it's Hamler, and he's in for the touchdown! It's a 39-yard touchdown hookup! Mike White to KJ Hamler!
Chris Brown on the call from last week's preseason loss to the New York Giants. Though there was plenty to look into on that one. Plenty of positives, including quarterback two battle. Mike White, Mitch Trubisky both looked pretty good in that game.
Yeah, they were pretty much identical, except for one more touchdown for Mike White and like one less attempt. Like that's pretty much what it was.
Trubisky had a little bit more yards, but a 58-yard strike will do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say, McDermott said it post-game, and I did like it. He said, both quarterbacks probably have some plays, though, that they would have liked to take back. And that's true. But that report from Pete Thamel... from the Big Ten about the increased field for college football. And part of that proposal, remember how I read to you the Big Ten would have seven teams
mm-hmm.
along with the SEC? That means that Iowa would have made the playoff in this.
Oh, man.
And Michigan. Michigan... and Iowa both were in total on the season 8-5 would have made the college football playoff.
Yeah, no. No.
And in the SEC, you're looking at Alabama, LSU, South Carolina, and Texas A&M would have all made it. Cool idea that you guys have cooking up there from the Big Ten. Really cool. Great stuff. If you can't tell, the sarcasm is real. But already, Big 12. They would have had five spots. Colorado makes it.
Yeah, no. See, this is where it gets lost though. Like the playoffs should be designed to weed out bad teams. Or
middling teams.
Middling teams. They're not supposed to make the postseason. And
I don't need a Michigan team that only scored 286 points on the year.
No, and you know, we were talking about the NBA playoffs. That was last year, that was a big topic of conversation. The Lakers almost making it, right?
Right. The 10 seeds.
Yeah, no.
We don't
make
need
it
that.
Selective. Make them play for it. That's what a playoff is for. You're not supposed to let the middling teams in to let them in because they bring money to your product. It's absolutely ridiculous if they end up going that route. I think you're going to lose, actually, fans.
About lose fans, but
you're lose not, watchability.
You're still probably not getting a ton from the bowl games that would have to be expanded into the playoff for that.
No, you have to pay for the spot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to do all this stuff, and it's people will sponsor.
How much would it spike is really the question there. The answer is not much.
It's just not worth it. You could advertise your 12-game playoff more. Make more effective marketing strategies for it. Take advantage of the more teams in there.
All right.
Don't do what they're saying. It's ridiculous.
I got a reel in my habit of getting distracted, but that tweet is making the rounds right now. And it's just pretty much everyone's hating it, which they should. Zach. Our own Zach Jones. Enough. This is like trying to expand March Madness. No one wants to see garbage Power Four teams fall on their face on the national stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's bad.
Nobody likes this idea. Maybe we should just keep it an idea, Big Ten. Thanks. Put it away. Put it away.
Agreed.
But we shouldn't put away the idea of players that you're looking to watch for preseason game number two. And Zach and I have had this question probably off air a lot. We've been talking about this a lot of, you know, who do we need to see more from? And I think that it's going to be, it's not about like somebody who hasn't done enough in the first preseason game or throughout training camp. Like, for example, Elijah Moore. You haven't heard much of him until again yesterday, mm-hmm. for example. And he had a really nice open route in the game against the Giants. Trubisky doesn't see him, and he throws a check down for it.
Yeah.
I'm going in a different direction. I saw something from a couple of players, and I want more.
Okay.
I want to see it pieced together. Give me a couple games worth of this. And that's the defensive tackle rookies, TJ Sanders, Deion Walker. They both make splash plays that show their promise. Now, get home. Can you take that next step for me?
Mm-hmm.
Show me more. Show me it again. Let me see more of these splash plays from you.
Right.
Let me see more of why there's hype about the defensive tackle class. Why was this positional class in the NFL draft so hyped? It is because of how deep it was. And the Bills getting Deion Walker, in addition to trading up for TJ Sanders, they spent heavily on it. They wanted to make sure they got some of these guys, and they got them. As a matter of fact, for both the tackles, they make trades with the Chicago Bears. Funny how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need you to terrorize them.
Yep.
You used the Bears to get these players. Now use the players to terrorize the Bears. In a preseason game, at least. I mentioned how it could be an overreaction, but also like a legitimate concern for some if the pass rush doesn't get home against Chicago, who let up 68 sacks last year. I will then also say, you just want to see more from the retooled defensive line.
Yeah.
You want to see them making plays. And that is, I saw something promising from the two rookie D tackles, and I want to see them string it together. Give me consistency. Because then I'd have a lot of faith, and a lot of people would have a lot of faith in the depth at the defensive tackle position. Because basic schematics in preseason still allows me to fully evaluate defensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And defensive line play as a whole. You're not using as many stunts, probably. You don't want to show those tendencies. But can I get the raw athleticism from these two highly touted defensive tackles? That's something you don't have to game plan for. That's not something you have to coach. That's not something that you have to make specific play calls and schemes for. That is a big dude facing up against another big dude. Can I get around him and terrorize a quarterback?
Right.
And that is why I want to see more from Sanders and Walker, because I saw promising flashes last week. Saw a couple really good snaps. Overall, I do believe like the measurement was they had 11 pass rushes together.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I each think of so. Them. Right around that, yeah.
And both of them made a couple good plays.
Mm-hmm.
Do it again.
Right.
Give me more.
I have four different names in front of me, specific players.
Okay.
I think this is just me before we get an actual lineup from the head coach. I assume Mike White's going to take the first half and Mitch Trubisky will take the second half, like kind of how it's gone, and Allen will play the first quarter of the third preseason game.
Right.
Like that's just kind of how it went. So I assume Mike White will be with probably more of the starters than he was last week in the second half. So
I don't know. Trubisky looked pretty good again yesterday.
I mean, yeah, but also you're not scheming. You're just kind of trying to see what people fit where. And I think, you know, Mike White, depending on how he does with the starters, you haven't seen that yet.
If you saw the arrow up, arrow down from our own Sal Capaccio, Mike White was in the down column.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not going to play in the preseason.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, but like you said, this was something that I was really harking on last weekend during pregame, which was I don't want the quarterbacks to be so poor like last preseason that I can't evaluate the wide receivers.
Yeah. You're right. And I truthfully, I hate the preseason quarterback battle. I hate the practice quarterback battle because Nate Peterman was a perfect practice quarterback. And he actually looked good in the preseason. You know what happens when it comes down to game time? You know what Mitch Trubisky tends to do in game time situations? Sell. He couldn't play in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Can't start here. Would you be comfortable if Allen, knock on wood, goes down and it's Trubisky?
Ready?
I wouldn't be.
Here's the difference.
I'm not saying I would with Mike White either, but I wouldn't be.
Last year versus this year. If the quarterbacks continue to play like this through the preseason, I will feel better about it than I did last year.
Mm-hmm. I just don't trust because...
God forbid, if Allen misses a game or two, I'm a lot more confident right now than I would be at this time last year because I saw Trubisky play so poorly that they signed Mike White.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's for kind of... the sake of this competition. But if the both of them are playing well through the rest of the preseason, I feel better. Why? Because you're playing better in the snaps that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me feel good.
Right.
Better is better. I don't need to worry as much if I have to have a couple games. Oh, if it's more than two games, forget it. Kiss the season goodbye. We're done here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking Herculean task of the backup quarterback at that point.
Right. I just don't think I'll ever feel comfortable with Trubisky just based on what we've seen in preseason's preseason. Right. I can't say after he plays well in three games against backups for the most part that I feel comfortable with it because he hasn't proven himself in one game time situation other than the kneel downs when Josh Allen puts 40 points up on another team. You know, right. That's where I struggle and want to see more of Mike White because he's actually had starting in the NFL and Trubisky has too. Mike White hasn't been fantastic, but his starts with the Jets were more meaningful than any start Trubisky had in Pittsburgh.
Mike White also has a smaller sample size, much smaller.
Right. But he's a different quarterback, though, too. He's less, a pocket passer.
He's less mobile.
Yeah, and Trubisky is more mobile, but he was behind every throw last week. Yeah. Every single throw was too high, too low, or behind the route.
Well, the strike to Shavers was perfect.
That was perfect, and that's my second person, Tyrell Shavers. He looked good last week, and that's really what you can say. If he keeps it up, he could be the Bills' sixth wide receiver if he continues to look like this.
Honestly, if he keeps going like this, I think he might be the five.
Who do you think drops?
Samuel.
Samuel, yeah. Shavers is kind of kicking Samuel in the butt a little bit there.
There's a non-zero chance that you think about pairing a pick with Samuel, try to save your cap space, get a team to take a higher pick, and you do a pick swap. Is it Samuel in a fifth, and you do a fifth-round pick swap?
Could be.
There's a non-zero chance of that happening at this point now because of how well Shavers is playing.
Mm-hmm.
And Chenault and Hamler.
Yeah.
So ready? A player that does need to step it up and you need to see more from, for his sake, is Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was limited in practice, but you need to be on the field.
That was his problem last year. He wasn't healthy until the tail end of the season. And that's
when he was healthy,
when you saw him, you were like, oh, that's Curtis Samuel.
But when you saw him, he looked pretty good in the later half of the season.
But at that point,
Turf Toe also needs a new name because it doesn't sound serious, terribly.
It's very serious. Allen playing through it in multiple playoff games and going the distance with the Chiefs at that point, it makes it less serious because you're like, oh, Josh Allen could play through it. Realistically, it's a strained ligament, so it's not great.
Strained ligament on the foot, which wide receivers run routes on.
Yeah. So
every play.
I do have three more names, but I know we're backed up against it.
Well,
break,
we can keep it going. That's the brilliant part about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the tease. And we're going to come back, and Joe, you're going to keep going here on players that you would like to see stepping up and getting more from tomorrow night against the Chicago Bears. Wrapping up hour number two here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you. Evan's on the board, making sure things are not on fire. It's a tough task. Someone's got to do it. Because we like to set fires. Metaphorical ones, not real ones.
Gotcha. Good to note. Good to note. Give me. I got to put my sticks and stones away. Hang on one second. Trying to start one.
Oh boy.
Should have just gone with flint and steel.
Look, it's been always
flint and steel's too easy.
It's been always burning. Okay, so
since the world's been turning,
allegedly. So, Joe, you had a couple more players.
Yes.
That you were looking into that you needed to see more from, and I'm going to hold on to mine because I've got pregame to do tomorrow.
Right.
I've got more. I still went with the defensive tackles more or less because they did show some promise immediately, delivering on their draft pedigree. But you'll hear more of mine tomorrow at 4 o'clock. What they won't hear is what you've got to say about it, which you still have some of your list.
Yes, I do. So if you're just joining us, first two names on the list were Mike White, Terrell Shavers. Number three on the list is James Cook. The holdout's over. The hold in, I should say, because that's really what it was.
Right.
Even if he plays a couple of snaps, I'd like to see an explosive run or a nice catch from him at
you
some point.
You think he's going into this game?
Maybe for a snap or two. Like, it might be legitimately that. Maybe the third game.
I don't think he's going to play a preseason game.
You don't think he'll play a game in the preseason?
No.
I think he might
He's been practicing. He started practicing and then he didn't. And then he's back to practice again. And he's been there for install the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he knows what he's doing.
He might play just a couple snaps in one of them. And that's kind of what I'm predicting, I guess, saying that.
If the starters play. I don't know if they're going to play the third preseason game. They never do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Allen played like a quarter. No, that in that last year, he had a personal
last year issue. He didn't play any preseason games.
No, because he was away. He wasn't here for the third one. So we'll see. James Cook's just kind of, if he does play, just one big run or something like that, from even if it's just a few snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Already saw a lot from this guy last week, Joey Andreessen. Big feature on Hard Knocks as well. He's kind of in the driver's seat to be the backup MLB for them right now.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And he wants to ditch the Buffalo Joe and just be Joe Andreessen of the Buffalo Bills, and I think he's going to be doing that. I mean, from how he played last week, he made a couple big stops, and he was tracking the ball well. He almost had an interception, dropped out of his hands, right? So he's done well, and I think he's kind of cementing his spot there as the backup middle linebacker. And what a story that is, by the way. Just from a hometown fun story to actually making your way onto a 53-man. That's pretty
impressive.
And
I also think that's going to be becoming like, you know, if he wants to kind of ditch the moniker a little bit, he's getting national attention from the joint practice yesterday, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be, the Bills signed Terrell Bernard to a four-year. If he's going to ascend to a starter,
who knows? That could be.
Would it be here?
Might not be here because Terrell Bernard, I would say, resign. Like if he's still playing how he has been, resign. Don't let him walk for anything. But if Andreessen is just going to be a serviceable backup, or if he's going to play above and beyond that, he might go play somewhere else.
But I do like Andreessen as an opportunity for a player to show a little bit more because he will get a nice little share of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will correct you on is I think he already has locked it up.
Yeah.
Because Spector, he got banged up. They wave injured him.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody.
It was about time. Spector had no playability in the regular season whatsoever. We saw that.
But he was
firsthand.
Still on this roster for a reason, and it was for competition for LB2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's gone pretty much in his favor there. I do think that he's also gotten a little bit of good fortune from Shaq Thompson being banged up as well.
Right.
I think Thompson's quality depth for both positions. On the will or at the mic.
Which is good.
Which is good.
You want someone who can cover both.
But now if Thompson is your third option at either of those, like say they just want to walk five linebackers in every game, and you have Andreessen for your mic, and you have Dorian Williams for your will.
Mm-hmm.
Sick.
Right. Right. And Milano's also been playing like crazy too. He looks phenomenal. Kind of back to himself, pending
he
any
He looked like
back.
He was tracking pretty sharply.
Yeah. And then finally, this might be a little bit of a hot take. Damar Hamlin, he had a couple big plays, big stops. He was right there with the defensive line on the blitzes they sent, right?
Right.
I do think there is an opportunity there for him, especially with Cole Bishop missing the time he did. I know he's back, right? McDermott, like we said, though, sounded a little, not peeved, I don't know what the right word.
Agitated,
right. About the time missed. It's valuable time, he said. And he's missed it last season, whatever, right? Rough quote. Hamlin, if he plays up, I think he could end up maybe starting, depending on injury-wise and what's going on there. But he's got something to play for in that backup spot and seeing what ends up happening there. So I just keep out an eye for him because he's got, with Cole Bishop, really, if he is going to be healthy and play, DeMar's got a little fire under him. And he was, by the way, a very big part of Hard Knocks Episode 2. And it was very good, very moving. Him and Andreessen both were big parts of that episode. So that was, you know, two names right there. So my full list, Mike White, Terrell Shavers, James Cook, Joe Andreessen, and then DeMar Hamlin. So it's kind of where I'm at right now. I guess you could throw Curtis Samuel up there too, depending on, because he's going to have to play for a spot, especially right. with Shavers. So there is a competition in some spots for sure.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely interesting. And like I said, I won't be here for the next two preseason games, but I'm intrigued to see how these starting lineups look heading into week one, if they are what we think they're going to be.
And we'll keep going with that.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join in here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley. We've got one more hour of Sports Talk Saturday on the other side here on WGR.